This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. Halloween's just around the corner, and that means Sugar. We're coming in, or we did come in, on the song Sugar by Jason Mraz. It's used in a video that urges people to pour out their sodas and dump the unhappy. We'll hear a little bit of that coming up. The video's gone viral, but will it get you to stop drinking soda? Here to talk with me about sugar, viral or otherwise, is food journalist Corby Kummer. Thanks for joining me, Corby.
Thanks for having me, Callie.
All right, here's a little bit of that music I was mentioning.
Sugar, sugar, I wanna make you happy. Like the sun you shine, you brighten up a gray day. Sugar, sugar, so good, so good.
All right, that's the song Sugar by Jason Mraz, and it's on a video called The Real Bears. It's a cartoon, Corby, but it's a little... it's kind of scary a little bit.
It's creepy. It's creepy and disturbing, and that's what it's supposed to be. The Center for Science and the Public Interest, which is the very admirable Washington-based activist group, which, by the way, on October 24th, will be hosting Food Day all around the country, and there are many great programs in the Boston area, including one at Babson College that Rachel Greenberger will be mounting. Really interesting discussions about what you should be involved with as far as food activist causes in your own neighborhood. And I think the Globe is having a – today's Tuesday, right? The Globe will have a whole section tomorrow on Food Day and what's going on here. That'll include the Babson program and others. So Center for the Science and the Public Interest is – aware, as of course everyone is aware, that the sugar industry has millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to combat everything that comes up in its way. Like, for example, this very interesting ballot initiative in California to tax soda a penny an ounce, an idea that is continually tried and continually fails.
At El Monte, California, in Los Angeles County.
Right. Mm-hmm. And where is the money to support that? Well, all the money is to fight it. So Center for the Science and the Public Interest got a Kresge grant because I asked Michael Jacobson, the head, where did the money come from? This is a very slick ad. And he got an ad legend, and I'm going to mangle his name, but I think it's Michael Boguski, B-O-G-U-S-K-Y, to donate his services. He had worked for, guess who? Coca-Cola. And he had made ads before. So it's this cartoon, and you heard that incredibly jaunty music. Sugar, you make me happy. I want to be happy all the time. So it comes on and you're lulled into thinking, oh, this is great. In fact, Callie, I saw you doing the lulling. I like this. I'm getting into this
music. I've seen the video, though.
So you see these really cute polar bears, this polar bear family. They're reaching into the refrigerator. They're taking sugar bottles. They're drinking it. They're going around. They get continually fatter. They're unable to move. In one, the mama bear is in bed with the papa bear, and she lifts the sheet, and he looks at her with a very resigned expression, and she puts the sheet right back. And then there is a caption that says, X percent of people who get diabetes type 2 experience erectile dysfunction. There are things you don't expect to see on a cartoon with cute polar bears. Everybody gets sicker and sicker. And you see another polar bear with a medical tunic on, wielding a chainsaw and going in to amputate a limb off one of the bears who has gotten fat and gotten diabetes, because there's a huge percentage of amputations from diabetics. That's a consequence of type 2 diabetes. So you see these kind of terrible things happen as this cheerful music is going on. And then at the end, finally, the family decides, since they're actually starting to frown instead of the smiling to that jaunty music at the beginning, they will dump out their bottles of soda that fill their refrigerator at the end into the ice cap. It's not what you expect when that cute video starts.
It certainly is not. I watched it and I was like, oh my God, at a few points. Beautifully done, very effective. We should note that the Center for Science and the Public Interest is often known as the food police, because they have been very clever over the years in coming down in a kind of succinct ways of telling people about food that is not good for them and trying to tout other healthy initiatives. And so this is, I think, probably the most distinctive campaign I've seen seen from them really kicking it up two or three notches and getting their point across. I want to let everybody know that they can see the video on our website, wgbhnews.org/BPR.
Well, what would be great is if they actually had the money to place that ad and to buy media and to be able to place it on television. They probably never will. The fact that they were able to mount such a slick piece of agitprop, which is what it is really to their credit.
And it's gone viral, so they're getting many more hits than they may have just, you know, without the viralness.
Which was what they most wanted. That was the whole point of doing it, to have it go viral.
And it's called The Real Bears, and people can look at it for themselves, and it is pretty, it'll raise your eyebrows more than once during looking at it. Now, back to El Monte, California, in Los Angeles County. That's a very real situation going on there where the town has decided, or some in the town anyway, they want to add 1 cent tax to all soda. So if you got, and you would, and it would equate to the ounces in the soda. So if you had 8 ounce soda, that's 8 more cents, et cetera, et cetera, 16 more cents, blah, blah, blah. Some of the proponents of this want to buy or create parks, use the monies to increase healthy activities. Their campaign, their grassroots campaign, is spending $100,000, but the American Beverage Association, a corporation, whatever it is spending $1.3 million to fight it.
I would imagine it's probably more than that by now.
Yeah.
I think we're about to talk about another ballot initiative in California and how many millions are going into that. Yes, it's just one town. But wherever this is cropping up, the various large consortiums of drink manufacturers like the American Beverage Association will do anything they can to fight it because they will lose sales. The way that this has usually come up has been in legislatures and in cities and states that have tried to propose this. And it's easier for these consortiums to put the machinery of their lobbying associations into place and defeat these measures. For example, in New York City, they try this, you know, New York City, where Mayor Bloomberg is the nanny.
It didn't work.
Portrayed as nanny. It didn't. No, they won.
At this moment.
Yeah, they won. He lost.
Right.
There he was as Mrs. Doubtfire in a full-page New York Times ad. You know, they photoshopped his picture right onto Nanny Doubtfire. And they started purchasing huge billboards. You saw trucks going by saying Americans for Freedom of Choice. I can't remember what the name of it was. But the idea was it's freedom of choice. Nobody wants to be told what to do. They aren't going to want to be taxed. This is depriving people of their right to choose exactly what they want to drink. So the opposite public health argument, which I have to say is what I believe in, is if you limit people's choices in a way they don't notice, for example, or in a way that deters them, for example, making portion sizes smaller and actually making it more expensive, they're going to react and they're going to buy less of it and they're going to be safer and obesity rates are going to go down. It's fact. I mean, it's very hard to argue with. The idea is if you're a libertarian and you think government should have no role in this, you don't want any of it. What's so interesting about El Monte in California is it's the people and it's the town rising up. It's not Nanny Bloomberg, who's worth $25 billion in personal wealth, deciding, I will do this for the masses. It's the people themselves who want it. That's why it's being so closely watched.
And the reason that they're, you know, one of the reasons that they're pushing is that the statistics back them up. I mean, there are many studies that show that there is a link between sugar and obesity. And in El Monte, they have the highest rate of obesity in the surrounding counties. So they 28% obesity of their entire population. That's pretty high, which is why they, you know, got inspired to try this tax. It's been tried here by Governor Patrick. We know that didn't work, so there you go. But there's another scary food story, an initiative in California, which has to do with genetically engineered food. And this has been around and around, this discussion. This one gets down to labeling. What the folks want there who are in favor of it is just label it. Tell us that it's genetically altered and take off natural if it's using ingredients that are not natural. And which is really surprising to me is that it's not surprising that it's being fought by the big companies, the Monsantos and the DuPonts, but the fact that they are already labeling Monsanto, DuPont, and whoever else does genetically altered food in Europe and Australia, Japan, Russia, and China. So what's the big deal here in America?
Well, it's a very big deal, as you can imagine. And the idea, first of all, if the reason we're about to put up a piece on theatlantic.com by a terrific environmental and food writer named Ari Laveau. I told his mother is listening in Cambridge, so you have a very good writer as a son. And it talks about the complicated politics behind who is supporting this and who's fighting this. So since the month began, the industry has been spending $1 million a day to fight this initiative. And in the past 2 weeks, their very smooth television ads have been working. They've been working so well that in a recent survey, let's start with a national survey. Most people in some national surveys say that 90% of them would like to have labels of GMOs on foods. They aren't necessarily saying they won't buy them. They want to know. They right. just want to know.
That seems reasonable.
It seems very reasonable. It was 70% in California, support of Prop 37, Proposition 37, as it's called, as of 2 weeks ago. And it has gone down to 48%
wow.
within 2 weeks for support of labeling because of these very smooth ads to the tune of $1 million a day that industry is sponsoring. So there's every chance that it could fail, whereas it looked like it was a shoo-in because it's so obvious that there's nothing to be harmed. But one of the things that Ari Laveau brings up in the piece TheAtlantic.com is about to publish is a lot of the companies that are pouring this money in own organics-only companies. For example, the corporate head parents of Silk, Horizon yeah. Milk, and Cascadian Farms, which is General Mills, they've also put lots of money into this. And one of the reasons organics don't want labeling is because, and I already pointed this out, I hadn't realized it, one of the advantages that you have by being able to call something organic is it means no GMOs. So right now, the only guarantee that American consumers have of knowing that there are no GMOs, if that's important to them, is the organic label. The organic industry will be losing a very big competitive advantage if there's now plenty of food that says non-GMO that isn't organic. Mm. So you would never think that.
No, you wouldn't.
And there's a group called Cornucopia Institute, which is always very activist in favor of organic goods. And they're starting to call out companies that are not sufficiently supporting Proposition 37 and its requirement to label GMOs. So they're shaming industries that were either sitting on the fence or actually opposing labeling and saying, you know, you have to vote with what's good for the public, not what might be good for your business interests. So that complex politics is also contributing to this enormously well-funded fight against mandatory labeling.
And the way that this ballot initiative goes, will that really impact the way the nation may go, really?
This is why there are so many millions being spent every day. Because as Ari says, and is sometimes but not always true, as California goes, so goes the country. It's the same idea as when the current head of the CDC, Tom Frieden, when he was New York City Health Commissioner under Mayor Bloomberg, they insisted on no trans fats in foods. That meant that McDonald's and enormous manufacturers had to retool their entire manufacturing process to eliminate trans fats. It has huge consequences nationally. And so if California votes on this, all of the national industries that are going to have to ramp up out of label, they're not going to bother distributing, establishing a whole supply chain just to California with labels on it. It will change national practice. So it's very important to both advocates of labeling and especially to opponents.
So whatever happens there will happen here, and we'll see it or not here in on our grocery store shelves. I'm talking with Corby Kummer. He's our resident foodie from the Atlantic magazine. And we're talking about some scary food stories and a couple of food initiatives initiatives out in California that will impact us here locally in the New England area and Boston. And also talking about the Center for Science and the Public Interest and its viral campaign to against sugary sodas, which is seemingly at least effective on the viral scene right now. It's getting a lot of people's attention. All right. So those are two very scary stories that, you know, I got my attention, I have to say, Corby. So I'm now scared to do anything. The piece
just
that
don't drink sugared soda. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah. There's a Bloomberg piece here talking about food sickening millions of people. This is a game got me going. This whole listeria, salmonella thing going around, and it's really way more intense than I certainly am aware of. I anecdotally am aware that there was more, it seems to be, more salmonella cases reported, and according to this article, definitely there's been an increase. And we find out in this scary article that the FDA is ill-equipped to ferret it out before it happens, and that there are private companies, in fact, signing off on corporations on farms, and they have really not inspected the facilities.
Well, this is something that first of all, it's a Bloomberg. We've just been talking about Mayor Bloomberg and his enormous personal worth, his extremely forward-thinking and, you know, somewhat imperial mandates in New York to change public health, I think for the better. Many people think for the totalitarian state. Controversial, but boy, is he admirable, I think. So we're talking about Bloomberg Markets, which is one of the many publications that go under the Bloomberg name because he has an enormous media empire. And I frankly had never read Bloomberg Markets. I had seen it. But there was this enormously impressive cover story about food inspections and food safety and just how lax it is. So those of us who are real fans of the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, and the authority that it should have, the authority it has fought to be able to issue mandatory recalls, which it could not do until the Food Safety Modernization Act passed about a year and a half ago. Here's the problem with FSMA, as it's called. It's not funded. There's not enough money to hire inspectors.
Wow.
So many of its mandates have not gone into place. One that I'm waiting for and that people will just hate and will come back and discuss is calorie labeling on menus.
Yeah.
You know, they're very controversial, but McDonald's
I know, and
is
I
taking
love it.
The lead
and
over
I love
the
it
FDA.
At McDonald's. I love it.
You're loving it.
So, I'm loving it. It doesn't stop me from going, but it helps me make some choices.
Exactly. It helps you make choices. I think that they should be having you on their advertisements. I think that you're the perfect guy. Exactly. It helps you make smarter choices. It might not change everything you do. You might go for something high calorie, but you know, it's your choice. So, yeah, if McDonald's is taking the lead over the FDA, which, you know, might be the nanny state, something's wrong. And what's wrong is they don't have enough money for inspections. We see it in every area of public safety. In theory, the government has the regulatory right, but it doesn't have the field inspectors and it doesn't have the money to do it. That's why so many things fall through the cracks. So in the case of the FDA, in successive Republican administrations, I don't mean to sound partisan in what I'm saying, the fact is that there was a lot more autonomy left to industry to do its, in fact, requirements that industry had to do its own inspection, had to fill out its own safety reports, had to hire its own inspectors. Well, when you do that and you don't have surprise inspectors and you have industry-friendly inspectors, many things just are going to go unnoticed, and they are going unnoticed. One of the things the Bloomberg Markets cover story had was we were very familiar with the peanut butter case when we all had to worry about crackers that came from one, I think it was Georgia, peanut processing plant. A lot of these had received flying colors in their inspection reports because the inspectors don't come in by surprise, they don't do spot checks, and they frankly just can't come in often enough.
And this article says sometimes they don't even know what to look for to audit. So when they go in, this is really very scary.
Ill-equipped, and there aren't enough of them.
Well, just to be clear, if you're buying produce anyway, if you wash it, you know, you got a good chance of, you know, knocking off some of this stuff. I just want to put that out there because it left you feeling very vulnerable after reading this, I have to say. So at least there's a line of communication. So Halloween and candy. Say It Ain't So, So, or Say It Is So, My Neckos is coming back to artificial colors. Now, we've just talked about and flavors about artificial sugar and soda and how it's bad for you. I'm sure this is bad for me, too, but I like the old-fashioned flavors, Corby.
Well, you're going to be able to have your old-fashioned. You see, old-fashioned now has come to mean artificially flavored.
No.
And that's what Necco ran into. I did a piece for The Atlantic a couple of years ago when they were doing this beautiful experiment of all-natural flavors and all-natural colors. They were just like weak sisters. They were like namby-pamby. They looked too subtle. I said that they looked like some kind of egg that Martha Stewart's chickens laid or something. They were these beautiful, subtle pastels. But they weren't these bright colors we're used to in Necco wafers. And so when you say the old-fashioned flavors of the past, sometimes what people want is like artificial flavors. And it turns out that's what people wanted with Necco wafers. And I have bad news for both of us. We are the target market of Necco. It's like people over 35 or 40. Not that I would dream of calling you over 40,
Thank you,
Callie.
And I hope you wouldn't call me over 30 either. Continue.
I would never call you over 30.
Okay.
However, it's baby boomers who are the Necco customers. And they weren't attracting younger consumers. Huh. They thought they were going to get a lot of young mothers who are worried about feeding their children artificial yeah. flavors and colors. Well, it turns out that it's, you know, people like us, or I'm sorry, people like me.
Thank you.
You know, the baby boomer generation who are used to what we saw in our childhoods. And they wanted those bright colors, and they wanted those much franker, bolder flavors.
Mm, all right. What else? What other kind of candy do you have on your radar for Halloween?
Oh, gosh. You know, candy corn, which is all artificial. There's nothing more artificial or corn syrup filled than candy corn. But to my mind, there's nothing better. And you know, it's the idea that if you grew up with Cool Pops or something, speaking of violently colored, strangely flavored popsicles that were the oddest, you know, blue that looks like it's coolant fluid out of a car, and yet you could peel the plastic off and have it frozen. I love those artificial flavors. I crave them. So once a year, I'm going to have them, and I'm going to crave. I'm going to go buy every office canister full of, God, I heard an editorial from our local Beth Tytel who was saying, I don't want to see the labels on packages as Callie, you do, and I do. I want to go to my office workers who have big open vats of candy corn and just steal it. So, yes, I'll do it once a year, and we're all going to be just fine if we do it every so often and not all the time.
Well, here's where the CSI, the Center for Science and the Public Interest, actually wins out. Now follow me with my logic.
Okay.
I'm going to eat handfuls of candy corn, and I love it, but it is really sweet. So because I have eliminated all the other stuff, because I don't drink soda, really. I drink water. You know, it balances, whereas in the past, I was drinking the soda and the candy, so they won. And when I'm driving through McDonald's, I'm not eating a lot of the stuff because I can read the label now.
Oh, there's so much sticker shock.
Balanced.
Wait till it's more than McDonald's. Wait till it's your baked goods at Starbucks. It will be a big turning point.
It's a big turning point. I'm really, in McDonald's, reading the labeling, I was actually surprised by some of the sandwiches. I think one slice of bread took it over the mountain and through the hills in terms of calorie count, whereas if you just didn't have that on there.
It's so counterintuitive, and it reinforces every study, which is people misestimate. They usually underestimate the amount of calories they're having. Unfortunately, a lot of chains that have diet specials were actually underreporting the calories. When places like Center for the Science and Public Interest sent them out to be sampled, they found that on average they were 100 more calories than were being claimed on the menus. Nonetheless, to have it on the menu in the first place is already a big step forward. And, you know, a chicken sandwich can be much healthier than a hamburger. Healthier. It can be lower in calories. Or if it's fried, it can be much higher in calories than a hamburger. It's not what you expect. That's why it's so educational.
Are there any candies, circling back to candy, because I agree with you on that, that are a little bit less dangerous? I mean, we've already accepted that candy corn is terrible for you, but we're just going to eat it. But is there something else that you would have in your Halloween bag to give out to kids that's just a little bit not so bad?
So I would say that chocolate-covered nuts, chocolate-covered raisins,
okay.
Because
all
once
right.
You've got nuts and raisins in them, they're already pretty healthful and you hope will be a gateway drug to just plain nuts and raisins, which are good for you. Yes, there are plenty of things. What about Oh, sorry. If I say this, everybody will think, ooh. What about roasted pumpkin seeds that are salted?
No, those are good.
There's like nothing better than roasted pumpkin seeds. So, you know, mixing a couple of those in. But if you feel you've got to have candy, go for the chocolate-covered raisins or nuts, and then nuts the next time.
All right. Well, you've given us a whole thing to think about, and I'm so happy. So I know what to have in my Halloween basket. Thank you so much, Corby Kermer.
Thank you, Callie. And we're going to go for the candy corn, too.
No kidding. And for those who want to look at that Real Bears viral video on our website, it's at wgbhnews.org/BPR. Thanks a lot, Corby Kermer. Today, as part of our 30 issues and 30 days coverage, we're turning the spotlight on public utilities. And we'll be talking with Ann Mostu, WGBH reporter.